Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 22 for October 3rd, 2007. Identikey. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit Audible.com/monkeys. Jumping Monkeys is also brought to you by the generous donations of listeners like you. Thanks. It's time for Jumping Monkeys, number 22, Megan Maroney. Hello.
Hello, Leo. How was your week?
You sound like a fairy tale princess.
I do?
Yeah.
I look like a fairy tale princess.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You really do. Was that your Halloween costume?
No. Mm-mm. I went with a bearded lady.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No, yeah.
Did you shave already now?
No, yeah, I did.
You know, I noticed I shaved. I grew it out for 4 days and it was so itchy and awful.
Yeah.
I gave up.
Yeah. The boys were firemen and,
good.
You know, I wanted to make their costume. I had a big idea. They were going to be robots.
Oh.
I had the big diaper boxes and cut holes in the, you know, the arms and the head and was going to spray paint them
so
silver.
Cool.
And I put the boxes on and I thought, well, here's the added bonus that they couldn't really, they didn't
move.
Have full arm movement.
They can't move.
So they couldn't like pinch or
great.
Hit anybody else.
Perfect.
And then, I think it was Huck that was wearing it. And Milo walked over to him and just, I don't think he meant to push him, but he just gave him a little push and then he fell right over.
Like, can't stop.
Apparently you need your arms to like stop yourself. So
it was such a good idea.
So yeah. So we went and went to the 50% off Kmart sale. And so it was just like buying one costume at full price for me.
There you go.
And they were little fireman hats and, you know, they love to dress up in costumes. So it's not like they're just going to wear it this one time.
Yeah.
And
no, fireman hats are always good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jennifer foolishly, I don't know why she did this. Henry's 13. She went to Kmart, got the spider cape and a giant spider and some web.
Mm.
And he's not going to wear a cape. He's 13. He'd rather be a bearded lady.
Yeah.
So he didn't. He just wore, he kind of cobbled together something.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly for him, it's just how much candy can I get, how fast.
Right. Yeah. And Annabella was a cat.
Oh.
And she just had a little black leotard and
perfect.
Some black leggings, and my
perfect.
Mom sewed a feather boa for her tail.
Oh, how cute.
That's really cute, yeah.
Did she have whiskers and a black nose?
Face paint.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. Easy,
yep.
And it works.
And now it's done, and we're on to Thanksgiving.
By this time next year, they'll be teenagers, and you won't have to worry about it. Thanksgiving. Oh, don't say the word. I got so many people coming. Oh, gosh.
I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. Just my sister and her family are coming.
Oh, you really? Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, we...
How many people is that going to be?
I don't know. 13, 14, 15.
Oh, so you're having a big one because your parents will come, of course.
Yeah.
And your
grandfather.
So you're going to have a big one.
Yeah.
This is all my wife's side of the family.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And then we're doing my side of the family for Christmas, so it evens out.
Yeah.
But we're going to have... I jokingly say like 40, but I think I might not be far off. It's a lot. I think we're doing two turkeys.
You could send a few over to our house. We'll be fine with that.
Oh, man. Just waiting for the cancellations. I'm hoping people will call and say, oh, I can't come. Oh, okay. Good.
Let's hope they don't listen.
Oh, no. No, not the Toffelmeyers. Not that wife.
So
that's getting worse. That didn't help.
No. Today we'll be talking to Dante, and he has a product called Identikey. And I thought this was really interesting. It's a little USB drive where you can keep all of your children's personal information on there in case of emergency.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And also you can print out babysitter lists really easily, and it's really cool. So it's kept off the web. Rather than just having it on a site where you can easily print these
Or things. Even just on your hard drive,
because
wherever you are, you've got
right.
this with
yeah,
you.
You've got it. So I thought that it was an interesting product, so I invited him to tell us a little bit more about it. So that's what we're going to do later in the show.
Cool.
And, of course, we've got our Spend, Save, Give and our video of the week, and we're just going to have some fun, I think.
You're going to have a great time,
mm-hmm.
and I'll see you later. Oh, no, I'm going to stay, too.
This is cute. I like this. This is our spend.
Yeah, spend. I found this
from Compani.
Yeah, compa-ny.com. I found it on Boing Boing. It's a parent-child dancing shoes. Now, you have to go to this site, the link.
So
to,
cute. They're from Finland.
Yeah, it'll be on jumpymonkeys.com or twit.tv if Leo feels like it. And they're little shoes that they have little baby shoes glued to the top so you can dance with your child.
Have you ever done that? Well, I have, certainly. Yeah. Where you dance with the kids and they have their feet on you. They're standing on mm-hmm. your feet, so they don't have to move their
right.
feet. You just dance.
Right. This makes it easier and warmer.
This is so cute.
I think this must be like a Finnish company or something?
It is Finnish. They're made of felt and rubber.
Yeah, because you can't ever be barefoot in Finland, apparently.
They have really interesting clothes. Do you think this is a real...
I have no idea.
This might be a joke. Look at the baggy jeans. This might be a joke.
I know, but I think it's a funny joke.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Here's a rocking bear. That's a rocking chair with a bear on it.
What do you mean with a bear on it?
See, right where you would put your legs, you put your legs around the bear's head. This has to be a joke.
I hope not.
Oh, look.
Either way.
There's a flame shirt. It's like a red sweater with wool flames coming out the side.
Yeah. If it is a joke, you could always glue some shoes onto other shoes if you needed.
You could make it yourself.
Yeah. They're probably not safe. They'd probably be recalled in the U.S.
I don't know if this is... I don't know. I cannot tell if this is real.
Isn't
or fake.
That the wonderful thing about the internet?
Here's beard wear. This I could have done. Oh, for your bearded lady thing. It's just basically, it's made out of wool. And it's also from Finland.
Like a beard shirt?
It's like a beard. It's for like your beard.
Okie dokie. Let's go on to the save. Or are you still on spending?
I'm still spending money at this wonderful compa-ny.com.
The save is this blog that I found called the Get Rich Slowly blog.
Get Rich Slowly.
Yeah, I found it on Lifehacker.
And life's too short to get rich quick.
Well, just because, you know, it's get rich quick. You never really get rich quick. You never
trust.
You're not supposed to trust anything where you get rich quick.
Yeah.
You know, you did not just win the lottery and, you know, someone in Nigeria is not going to send you a bunch of money.
No.
But
I found that out the hard way.
But this is interesting. They had a post recently about loving the smaller house. It was interesting because this guy who writes this blog just bought a big giant house and he was kind of thinking he wished that he'd had a smaller house. It's just little ways. There was a site that he linked to just recently about, you know, how to figure out whether you really should buy a house or not, which is interesting for us.
It's not necessarily. I mean, it's always been the kind of standard argument, buy a house,
mm-hmm.
but it isn't necessarily add all the costs
right.
up.
Right.
It's not necessarily
idea. The site he recommended was called housemath.us, and enter where you're from and everything. So it's just, I thought it was an interesting site. It's getrichslowly.org.
Personal finance that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Is he a personal finance guy?
I don't know. You know, he said that I read a little bit about him, and he said he just had a regular blog, and he had a post that was called Get Rich Slowly, and it just got
Everybody
so many
it.
Hits that
yeah.
he just started this blog.
That's a good idea. Talk about something you love, but kind of focus on what it is that you do.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, now to the give. This is donorschoose.org. Have you heard of this?
Donors Choose.
It's it's a site that makes it easy for teachers to request funds for projects.
I love that idea.
And then for people, it makes it also easy for people to donate to the school projects they care about. They've been really pushed on the blogosphere lately. There's a lot of different blog. They had like a blogger challenge to try to get more people to come to the site. And so I've seen it a lot of places. We're unfortunately too late for the blogger challenge, but I still thought it was an interesting site to mention. It's donorschoose.org, and you can just go through there, and if you're just wanting to find a school to donate, you can go through and find a project that way, or if you are a school, you could, you know, say you have a project.
So these are just different proposals, like quit stealing my books. My district requires that I teach one mandatory novel in each course. As with any title that comes from a list, not all these books foster a lifelong love of literature. Therefore, he's going to teach 9 other titles that the students love. And but he needs to find the books.
Oh, because he gives them away.
He gives them to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's what Marco does too. All of my
does he?
Great books. He he just. I mean, and that makes sense. Like he can buy another copy, but if he really thinks the kid's going to read neat. It, he just doesn't recommend it. Oh, go buy this book because he knows they're not going
give
to
give it to them.
Yeah,
yeah. My wife does that too with all of our books.
We have some of your books probably too.
Yeah, that's all right. I think you know. I always liked the idea of having a book lined library.
Mm-hmm.
But then you know that's just hoarding.
Yeah.
Share books.
Yeah.
Once you've read it, what are you going to do? Read it again?
Right, exactly.
I think my fantasy was, if I have all these books on the wall, maybe Abby or Henry will see something and read it.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe, because I remember when I was a kid, like I'd get really, if I got really, really bored, I might look at my parents' books and read one.
Mm-hmm.
Abby, and you know, it's kind of paid off because Abby every once in a while will come downstairs and say, I need something to read. Can you recommend something, a good book? And I'll go to the bookshelf and I'll have something for her. So, but that's not the only I mean, you know, that's small reason to do that.
Yeah.
And I've been carting these books around for years.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah, we never get rid of books.
I love
books. We never sell
them back.
There's
something about books I love.
Yeah, just having them around. I like having them around.
Look, I mean, even my office, all my computer books come here, and I've kind of lined the wall with all my computer books.
24 Hours in Cyberspace.
Yeah.
PayPal Hacks.
Yeah.
American Heritage Dictionary.
That whole shelf there, that's programming books right there.
Ooh.
This whole shelf here, Get Rich Slowly, right there.
But do you look at Windows Vista Secrets?
No, never.
But don't tell Brian Livingston.
Yeah, and Paul Theroux. That's Paul Theroux's book. He's the guy who does the Windows.
Yeah, there.
No, actually, occasionally, you know, that's a reference work. So I do look at that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't sit down and read it cover to cover, but I do actually use that, all of them. And there's, that shelf's my books.
Yep.
The one over there, right below the Emmy Award. That's my bookshelf.
So the people see it right when they come
in. The Emmy Award and then the Podcaster of the Year Award right next to that. And
what year was that?
I don't know.
1997 Podcaster of the Year.
Yeah, there was only one. It was me.
All right. So that is spend, save, give.
Yes, it is.
One way to spend your money, one way to save your money, and one way to give it all away.
Now, this video of the week is a Tonka truck commercial.
Yes. I thought this was interesting. You want to watch it, and then we can discuss.
Watch
or listen.
Then we'll discuss.
Listen.
Boys, what can you say? They're just built different. And now, with the Tonka 3-in-1 Scoot and Scoop, they can play their way. From shape sorting to learning how to walk to freewheeling. From baby
to big boy.
Have to
listen to
all
the whole
one
thing.
Toy. Boys are built different.
Boys don't really, I mean, girls don't really need to learn to walk, do they?
No, but that was interesting. Boys are built different. I found this on a blog, Suburban Oblivion, and
I think a girl would like that.
I know. I thought it was a good.
It doesn't even look like a truck. It's like it's like a walker with blocks on it.
My boys have Tonka trucks and Annabella does play with them. So I thought that was an interesting route for Tonka to take. Just basically boys, they're built different.
Well, now see, you're a good person to ask this of. I mean, it is true that boys are different than girls, but it doesn't mean that they play with different toys. I mean, look, Henry was never going to play with, you know, the Barbie dolls.
Never?
No.
Not even when he was little?
No.
My boys play with Barbies.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't know what they were.
Well, they don't know that they're not supposed to play with them.
Well,
no,
that's
if that's what you're asking.
No, he just wasn't. You know, it was more like he wasn't interested in human shaped forms. He liked round things and, you know, bats and balls.
Yeah.
Just even like it too.
Yeah. No, my boys do play with dolls. I mean, they can, you know, hold them and put them in. I mean, they do everything that Annabella does a lot of times.
I don't want to be knee jerk about this, is I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. On the surface of it is like, well, come on.
Well,
boys
yeah.
aren't different.
I thought, yeah. I mean,
but I want to think. Let's think about it. Boys are a little different.
They are different. I'm not saying that's why I just brought it up to discuss. I just thought it was interesting that they're. But yeah, I mean, but boys do. My boys play with trains. Like Annabella never was really interested in trains. That's not that different. She does occasionally play with them, but it's not that kind of love. Like I have to take this Thomas train to bed with me and I'm not going to let it go.
No, Abby likes those. You know, I have to say the only thing when I look at this, the only thing that bugs me is that there's nothing particularly boy-like.
Except for that it's a truck.
About this. Well, it's not even really a truck. It's a four-wheeled walker.
Right, it's a truck that you push around. Yeah, at that age, I don't think they're really that. Yeah, like it is your good point. Like girls don't need to walk, learn to walk.
No,
like,
they don't need to learn.
Yeah,
walk.
Interesting. I think we are really getting to the stage where it's, you know, it's exciting to say like this is just for boys or this is just for girls.
With the pendulum is swinging back the other way. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because for a long time everything was unisex. But boy, you know, I liked when I was a boy. I liked guns, toy guns, not real guns. G.I. Joes. bats and balls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was cultural conditioning. I think it was just kind of a natural thing. Although when we played Man from U.N.C.L.E., the girls would play too. And they'd play with the guns and we'd do the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I really think it's that book, The Dangerous Book for Boys, I really think that sort of kind of made it okay to say like, hey, this is just for boys. And I think it's okay, but...
You know what's funny though? Henry's going through it and he says, wait a minute, this isn't dangerous. It's got like a list of adverbs. Wait a minute, this isn't dangerous. How to make egg salad. There's nothing particularly dangerous about that book. I just want to point that out.
Yeah. Well, I have an advanced copy they sent me of The Daring Book for Girls. And it's interesting. It's like how to do a cartwheel, how to tie a sari.
Boys don't want to tie saris.
No, but I mean,
they might want to do cartwheels.
Like, it's not prissy things like, right. You know, how to tie a sari. That's interesting. It's all things that I think Annabella would be interested in. I'm not, you know, it's not like, oh, well, okay. And it's interesting. Real life princesses. That's interesting.
It's just we're in a reaction now to this, the 70s and 80s, where it was not okay to say boys and girls are different. And now we're going back the other way a little bit. It'll, you know, maybe it'll oscillate back and forth and settle down. I mean, they're different, but there's no reason why you should exclude one gender from anything that they want to play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting that on this blog where I found this, she was kind of saying, like, on Suburban Oblivion, she was saying, there are a lot of people who are really up in arms about this. And she was not, actually. She was saying it's fine, you know. But because it is interesting. I mean, you don't see boys in doll commercials and... No one has any trouble with that, but that's true. I mean,
lots of boys
know.
Play with dolls. I know plenty of boys that play with dolls.
I'm okay.
And G.I. Joe is a doll.
Right. I'm okay with girls being girlish and boys being boyish, but I don't necessarily, I do have a problem with the way like the Disney princesses are sort of pushed on my daughter. It was tough like around 3.5, 4. Like now she's sort of, I think when you get to be about 4.5, you do have a little more independent thinking. And so she isn't as susceptible to it. So I think I'm not as worried as I was about a year ago, but I was really like, well, she doesn't watch television. She doesn't watch movies. She's never seen any of these, but she knows all the names of the princesses and you know what. And it's just,
well, we live sad. It's an interesting question in even a broader way, because we live in the culture. And so this is our culture. And so the kids need to know our culture.
Right.
And some of the things in our culture are not, you know, not necessarily our values.
Yeah.
And so that's for every parent. I think that's a challenge. Your own personal values versus the culture's values, whether the culture's too lax or too restrictive. And how do you impose or encourage your kids to have their own values?
Right.
It's tough. That's probably the most difficult thing about being a parent is inculcating those values. And still, you know, I remember listening to one of the right wing radio shows, and a guy called up and said, well, you got to beat your kids. The key is to crush their will. To assert your will without crushing their desire to live or something. And I think there's definitely some people who think that the key to being a parent is to mold your kids. Mm. And I've come to the conclusion you can't really mold them.
Right. Yeah.
You can kind of encourage them. You can't really mold them.
Yeah.
At least if you do, you don't do it. You can't do it in a conscious way. It's too difficult to do it right.
Yeah. So that's
interesting. I think that's very interesting.
Should we talk about the Audible book?
Oh, I think we could.
Of the week.
Because it's one of my favorite it's a Dr. Seuss, right?
It is a Dr. Seuss book.
I love this
book.
I'll just go play a little bit and see. I bet you people will recognize this.
Yeah.
If they listen, they'll know.
Yertle the Turtle.
Because he says the name right at the beginning. Oh, well.
On the faraway island of Salamisand, Yertle the Turtle was king of the pond.
Now, you know that voice.
Yes.
Mr. John Lithgow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, I mean, everyone's heard probably of Yertle the Turtle and remembers it, but I thought it was good to recommend because I really like this reading.
Now, it's only 7 minutes.
Right. I know, and it's interesting because our Yertle the Turtle has other stories in it, like our hardcover book, but this one is just the story, and it's a good story. And do you remember the story?
No, what happens?
He wants to be king, and so he piles up the turtles, more turtles, and, you know, and then the turtle on the bottom keeps saying, but what about me? I'm down here at the bottom.
So this one has a real moral.
Well, they all do.
Does it?
They all, the Lorax and, you know, the Sneetches, they all Dr. Seuss.
Oh, the places has, you'll go.
Yeah, all the places you go, like, has little morals, but not, you know, but Yertle the Turtle. And did you want to talk a little bit about Audible?
I do. You know, the thing that's neat about Audible, I mean, here it is, it's a 7-minute book, but you can get it on Audible, which is great because kids love it. And if you're driving or just a bedtime story, you can put it on your cassette player on your iPod and they can listen to it. All kinds of books for grown-ups, for kids, classics, business, history, fiction and nonfiction, science fiction and fantasy. It's just 45,000 plus titles. I don't know if you've started listening to Audible books yet. We've certainly talked about them for, it's been almost 6 months, 7 months. But I do hope you, if you aren't yet a member, that you'll go to audible.com/monkeys and sign up. In fact, when you do, you get a credit for a free book. So it could be Yertle the Turtle or any of the books we recommend on any of our shows. I just love audible.com. Works on a variety of devices, by the way, including, of course, all the iPods, but a lot of other MP3 players, even your computer, and you could even put it on a CD so you can listen to it just about anywhere. If you go to the audible.com device center, you'll see all the different devices it can work with. I put them on my iPhone. That's how I listen. audible.com/monkeys. We'll get a little bit of credit for you going there, and you'll get a whole bunch of great stuff to listen to, not just podcasts, although they do have podcasts on here. audible.com/monkeys. We thank so much, Audible, so much for their support for the Jumping Monkeys podcast. Should we do Identikey now?
Yeah, now we're going to talk to Dante, who's founder of a product called Identikey. And this is a really interesting product for keeping all of your kids' emergency information in one place. And, you know, he sent it to me and I started to use it. And it was interesting because at first, it was hard to even put that information down because I just was like, why am I doing this in case they get kidnapped or, you know, something horrible happens? And but I realized I had to. And so I thought it was an interesting thing to talk about. So
let's say hello to Dante. Crescenzi.
It's Crescenzi, yes.
Crescenzi.
Okay. Italian.
I thought it might be. I was just guessing.
But yeah, you're also Italian.
And yes, that's right. And Dante, are you a principal with Identikey, or what's your...
I am, yes.
Oh, good. Is this your idea?
Yes. Yeah, actually, I came up with the idea about 2 years ago.
Neat.
And my wife, Kelly, and myself, and my partner, Jeff Hughes, and his wife, Michelle, got together and collaborated and came up with, you know, developing the software and trying to bring the idea to a reality, and we've done so.
That's
so
neat. It's a family affair.
Yes, it is.
I assume you guys have kids.
Yes, we do. I have a boy and a girl, Vincent and Emily, and my partner, Jeff, has a daughter. Her name's Emma.
Oh. Yeah. So I'm holding the Identikey. It looks just like a USB thumb drive. Actually, a small thumb drive. It's not a big one. You could easily put it on your keychain.
Correct.
And then, so I plug this into my... Is it Windows only?
It's Windows only right now. Our next version, which is due out next month, will actually be Mac compatible as well.
I'm plugging it into my Windows machine right as we speak. Installing device driver software, Identikey. Start Identikey. So it actually runs the software the minute you plug it in.
Correct. There's an auto run feature that is that's inherent on the drive. So it will auto start our newest version due to the Windows Vista and some of the security measures that Microsoft has taken. We're actually just running a sort of splash screen that users can click on and then start the software from there.
Cool. Well, I'm running Vista, and I don't have any... I turned off all the security measures, so it just launched right up. So what now that I've got Identikey running, what do I do with it?
So what Identikey is, as you already know, it's a USB thumb drive, but it has interactive software that will help parents be proactive and collecting and securely storing information on their children or family members. It doesn't just have to be children. And, you know, my initial concept for this was, you know, there were so many children going missing in the United States and across the world, actually. And, you know, we wanted to try to give something to the parents to help them be proactive as a tool. So in case, God forbid, something did happen to a child and they went missing, they'd have all the information right there on the drive, on their keychain, or you know, at their desk or whatever, to actually take to the authorities, such as, you know, digital identification, digital photos for the FBI or local authorities, and things like that. According to the FBI, the first 3 hours are the most crucial in locating a missing child. So for some parents, especially getting a photo or a digital photo out so they can get it to the media, that might take 3 hours right there. You never know. What happens is when you launch the software, as you know, the IdentiKey will take you through an interview process, that will, general information, and then it'll take you through a school section, a medical section, a contact section, and then we'll allow you to print out, fingerprint card. Wow. And, different things like that.
So I'm doing it right now. I'm filling it out for my family just in case.
Yeah.
It's an emergency. Now, do police agencies yet recognize this? I mean, you couldn't hand this to the police department and say, here's my IdentiKey, but I bet you that's your goal.
One of the things that we're trying to do, and we're acting locally but thinking globally here. So what we want to do is we want to start working at a local level with the local authorities. And we've called several agencies and police departments in our area just to ask them, you know, what are the steps that one would go through. And, of course, the first thing that any parent should do if a child went missing would be to call your local authorities.
Right.
Call them. So we're not, you know, advocating this as, you know, any replacement for the authorities. Merely a tool just to make parents feel a little safer. But at the same time, one of the comments when I first approached Megan about, you know, checking out the product was that, you know, she voiced to me that she had a hard time even thinking about the concept of,
right,
of, you know what I mean? And so we actually view the IdentiKey as not only a tool for people to use in that event, but it has other features on there that the people can use to print out different reports and ID cards and things like that. So it doesn't just have to be used in that case.
So you could print out, if you were going out of town, leaving your kids with a sitter or something, you can print out an emergency contact list pretty easily.
Exactly. We have a complete profile report, and that's actually the first section that you fill out, Leo, is the primary section. And that'll hold just name, address, physical characteristics, and things like that. And then the complete profile report, you're right, Megan, if you go out of town or you're leaving and you don't want to constantly every time write down, you know, your cell numbers and things like that, you can have that and just print it out.
And the idea here is that, why put it on a USB key? So it's just more accessible, or?
I think the reason that we put it on a USB key was, number one, to have it more accessible, right? And to be able to have something that a parent might be able to keep on their keychain in case they found out at work or if they weren't at home and near their computer that they needed that information.
That's true. It's small enough you carry it with you everywhere, yeah.
Yeah.
Although you should see my keychain. I don't know if there's room enough. I have a GPS. I have a there's a USB key. I could make it replace it with that. I have a little Inca Dinka pen. I mean, this is ridiculous already. It's
well, what's important to you, Leo?
True. I'm going to take the Inca Dinka pen off and put the IdentiKey on instead.
So we did make it small like that, so you could put it on a keychain. We're actually changing drive style, so it's more of an aluminum sort of cylindrical, smaller device that is really neat looking, and actually has a keychain that comes on it. So it's a little bit more friendly to put on your keychain.
How much?
It's $29.95 is the suggested retail price.
Yeah,
and
So it's not probably not enough to put other stuff on it. I mean, enough storage to put other stuff on it. I mean, it's just really just for this.
Yeah, I mean, due to the encryption measures that we've put on there, it's really we've tried to leave it so that device is strictly for the software that's running.
That's a good idea.
And the software runs right off the drive using a technology called a portable web app, which is it's just like a web server that runs on a USB drive.
It's not U3. I want to point that out, which actually I think is good.
It's not U3, not yet.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if U3 is such a good thing. I mean, U3 concerns me a little bit. This is a little bit more, to me, I'm less worried about. I like this.
Yeah, and you asked, you know, why put it on a USB drive, and that was one of the other points I was about to make was, you know, it's in the security, you know, if I put, you know, this application up on the internet and ask people, you know, if they wanted to use it via the web, a lot of people would just say, whoa, no way.
Right.
You know,
rightly so.
Putting your kids' pictures and all their personal information.
Secure or not, I don't want to do that.
So this information is not stored anywhere on the web.
Absolutely not. Nowhere on the internet. It's strictly on the drive.
And the drive is password protected. It's secure, so nobody can get into it and see it. I think this is actually a really good idea.
So on the site, there's a section to join now. What do you get if you're a member?
What happens is we at the very beginning, we really were thinking very big, and we wanted to come up with a network of good citizens, so to speak, where if you bought the drive, and even if you don't have the product, you could sign up as a good citizen. And what that gets you is if you get put on a list, and basically it's just your email address and your zip code and a little bit of contact information. And if anybody had a child that went missing that actually had the product, what they would do is from the application itself, you would actually go and create a missing poster, which then emails that missing poster directly to us via email. Providing you had an internet connection available. It doesn't go to a website, just to our email address. We then triangulate 100 miles around for all our good citizens from the zip code of the missing child, and then we send out an email to all the good citizens and ask them to please place a missing poster. We thought a little bit more about it, and as I said in the beginning, we don't want to become any sort of a replacement for the authorities. And the product is actually starting to go global in a few different countries, and we won't be able to continue that probably. So I'm not sure if that's actually going to be a feature in the next release or not. Mm.
So right now, it's available just in the U.S.
It's available just in the U.S. We have a number of retailers that we sell to and that sell the product for us. And if you go to our website, identikey.com, and go to where to buy, you can see all the different retailers that you could buy it through.
Excellent. Mac coming soon.
Mac coming soon.
Possibly absolutely. By the time you hear this. We're recording this now, but it's going to air a few weeks later. So how long before you think the Mac will be out?
I think it'll probably be out end of November, early December, I'm hoping.
So maybe by the time this airs. Yeah. Good. Oh, that's great. So, but it's currently, and it does work with Vista, because I just used it with Vista, as well as XP and Windows 2000. Macintosh coming soon. $29.95. That's a great deal. IdentaKey.com. Identikey.
Yeah, and if you want to see, we actually have a flash demo up at demoidentikey.com as well.
That's a good idea.
Excellent. We'll link to that in our show notes, too.
All right.
Thank you, Dante.
Thank you, Dante. And that was Dante. How do you say his last name again?
Crescenzi.
Crescenzi. I'm the Italian here. I should know. Crescenzi. Anyway, very interesting.
Yeah.
Identikey. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's amazing the things that people think up.
It is amazing.
Do. You know, it's like it's as parents, I think, are the best inventors, because you see, like, this is something that I need, and I'm just going to make it, you know, especially
geek
parents,
general,
I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
a couple more links, and then we're going to get to your emails.
Yeah, I just actually have one more link, sadly.
Suburban Oblivion.
No, we already talked about Suburban Oblivion. That was where I found the Tonka Trunk commercial.
Oh, okay.
But this last link is the League of Maternal Justice.com.
I like it.
Now, did you know that Facebook was taking down pictures of women breastfeeding?
Is this the lactivist that we were talking about the other time?
These are new lactivists, okay. But they are lactivists, or lactivistas,
lactivistas,
as they call themselves. So Facebook is actually taking down pictures of women breastfeeding, which I think is weird.
I think I knew about this. In fact, the picture I saw, there wasn't even any nudity.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting choice. I actually don't use Facebook, but you do.
I do.
Do you have any pictures of yourself breastfeeding
on
Facebook?
No, I haven't. I haven't done that yet. No.
So, unfortunately,
I mean,
Leo,
I think it's appropriate for them not to say we're going to draw the line at nudity. But you know, there's a lot of cleavage on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of sexuality.
Right.
Breastfeeding is not sexual.
Yeah, I mean, if a child's actually breastfeeding, I think Yeah. I mean, like a woman could be in a really like in a bathing suit or something, and that's okay. Right. Whereas like a child eating is not okay.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if like they, do they have like a computer program that just looks for these pictures, or are
no,
actually
it's probably
people?
Because somebody complained and then, or they, I mean, there's 50 million people. I don't know.
Yeah.
How many, there's a huge
number.
So is
there really a, there's, do they have people looking for offensive pictures?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure that ultimately it's a person who makes a decision, but it may be based on a complaint. I don't really know what
that. I don't know either.
I'll look up what their terms of service are.
Yeah.
Because they probably say on the site.
What, no children eating.
No eating. No kids allowed to eat.
But I'm sorry to break it to you, Leo. We missed the League of Maternal Justice's Breastfest 2007.
Well, what does that mean?
That was when everyone, you know, they were encouraging bloggers to put up, and, you know, people on Facebook to put up pictures of themselves breastfeeding. But we didn't, up with boobies is not over yet. That's what the site says. Up with boobies is not over yet. So,
well, this is not, you know, I seem to remember somebody else doing something like this. For another good cause. Might have been breast cancer awareness.
Mm. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but the league, it's just leagueofmaternaljustice.com.
I wouldn't forget something like that.
You wouldn't forget Breastfest 2007? No.
It says in their user conduct, in their terms, in addition, you agree not to use a service or site to upload, post, transmit, share, store, or otherwise make available content that, in the sole judgment of Facebook, is objectionable or which restricts or inhibits any other person from using or enjoying the site. Or which may expose the company or its users to any harm or liability. So, I mean, they say we get to decide,
right?
Which all sites
do. So, yeah, they get to decide. So, I mean, yeah, you could just go somewhere else besides Facebook.
It doesn't say specifically. I don't even think it says nudity specifically.
Are there any other social networking sites besides Facebook?
Oh, quite a few, I believe. Many of them have breastfeeding.
Just kidding.
No, it doesn't say nudity anywhere. So, it's interesting. I think that they are very flexible. They... You know, and there is an arbitration clause. I guess you could pursue them and say, we don't think that that's right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they've done.
I know sites that we've talked about before, like Cafe Mom, they have no problem with the breastfeeding pictures.
Come on. It's ridiculous.
Leagueofmaternaljustice.com if you want to get involved with Up With Boobies.
They wrote a letter. Dear Facebook, we represent an online community, are concerned about your actions. In fact, they've got this online crusade. It's our understanding that Facebook does not have a specific policy about breastfeeding photos. However, the nature of the photographs banned and statements from a Facebook representative indicate that Facebook employees are inclined to treat breastfeeding photos as indecent.
That's interesting.
You know, this happens a lot. I mean, in fact, this is that Flickr issue of smoking children. And somebody has to make a decision. Sometimes they make the wrong decision.
What's the Flickr issue of smoking children?
Flickr bans pictures of kids smoking.
Like baby smoking?
Any child smoking.
Oh.
And Thomas Hawk, who's a well-known Bay Area photographer, has publicized this on his blog and said, you know, in fact, I think he put a famous art photo, a very famous photo of a child on the beach in Brazil smoking. It was a shocking photo because it's a, you know, 8-year-old girl smoking.
And it was banned.
And it's banned. It's Flickr won't allow those. And I guess... I guess I don't remember what show we were talking about it on.
No, it wasn't this show.
Wasn't this one.
No.
But, I mean, it's Flickr's right to do that, and your right to go somewhere else.
Right, exactly.
But I think this is well worth raising people's awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready to hear some email?
If.
Okay.
I am.
This is from Dan Boyle. He says, I finally got my wife to listen to your podcast.
Yay, Dan.
And he has a little...
you the man.
How he did it.
Okay, how did he do
by
it?
By Dan Boyle. I did
he
it by talking
her.
To her about a few of the really good ideas that pop up on the show, one at a time. For example... I say, here's a cool idea. You take your kids to Disneyland, you take an indelible ink marker and write your cell phone number on their stomach.
And she goes, wow, that's unusual.
Yes, she says, that's a really good idea. And he says, yeah, I got that off the podcast, Jumping Monkeys.
Jumping Monkeys.
And then she says, you got to be careful, though. You don't want your kids to flash to strangers. But an arm would work. So... They had discussions about it. He says he did it several times. And after a while, she says she'll have to go check it out. And he said it was all downhill from there.
Good. Welcome, so, Dan and wife.
Yes, Dan and wife. If he'd said your name, then, you know.
You know. The wife.
Welcome, Dan, woman. If you really have a wife. Just
imaginary
kidding.
Imaginary wife. Got a picture of her drawn on his stomach.
Okay, here's a kind of a long email. It's got a lot of suggestions in it from Kimberly Herbert. She says, I teach technology to kindergarten through fifth grade.
Oh, I want to hear what she has to say.
So she says, I'm part of the special rotations along with art, music, and PE, which I thought was interesting, kindergarten through fifth grade. She says her lessons center around math and science.
Right.
She doesn't teach how to make a PowerPoint.
Good.
She teaches how she can use the properties of matter to separate salt, iron fillings, and pepper, and document and explain the process. And then she uses technology to document and publish her results.
That's neat. So she's teaching science, but she's using technology in
addition.
Right.
She says she's fought for the right to use weblogs, podcasts, wikis, and other form of communication, and she's finally received permission.
Wow.
She says it's important to teach her students how to protect themselves in real life, especially when using technology. And she has, here's some basic ideas that she had, which I thought were really useful. One is, everyone on the web is a stranger and they can lie about who they are.
Yep.
No chatting, emailing, blogging, podcasting without your parents' permission.
Yep.
All good information. If someone contacting you makes you feel uncomfortable, log off, tell someone, and block them. That's pretty simple.
Actually, what I would even go farther. I would say you may not communicate with anybody you don't know in real life, period.
Right.
Not that they make you feel uncomfortable, because they may not make them feel uncomfortable. They may say, oh, this guy's great. He's a 12-year-old guy in Illinois. I've never met him. So my rule with the kids was, you have to know them in real life.
Right, right.
You have to know them in real life.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a hard concept for kids. This, you know, now...
What makes them uncomfortable? We don't, you know, you may not be able to count on that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, yeah. But what you're saying is you have to know them in real life. Because I think some parents might just say, like, you have to know them. But they're like, well, I know them. I email them.
No,
so,
no,
yeah,
no.
Know them
in
real life.
It has to be somebody who goes to your school or your cousin.
Right.
Or,
so be very specific about it.
And then there's this gray area, which happened with my kids as they got older. Not when they were that little, but as they got older. Oh, my cousin Maria's best friend. No, she knows him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think as they get older, that's okay to expand your circle as long as someone you know very well and trust knows them also.
Knows them in real life.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I think this is interesting, too. If you're following the rules, you will not get into trouble. I will go to bat for you. I think that's interesting,
that's
too.
Great.
Like, because I think a lot of times
don't be
kids,
scared.
Yeah, scared. Like, well, and not even if you were following the rules. I think that even is too much to say. So, okay, like, say you were emailing without permission or you were talking to someone, you know, chatting that you weren't supposed to, and they make you feel uncomfortable. It's still okay to tell your parent.
Please.
I think that's important, that you should make sure not to scare your children. Well, I was doing something wrong, so I can't tell them that.
I would underscore this, because adult predators will actually use this as a way to keep kids from telling, is if you tell your parents, there, you know, something awful is going to happen.
Right.
So you really want to make this clear. Nothing will, I will praise you. I will thank you. Nothing awful will ever happen to you for telling me about something like this.
Yeah. So anyone who asks you to contact them in secret is bad. Tell an adult. Remember, if you call someone, you are giving them your phone number.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you call
That's
someone,
good.
You're giving them
Kids
their
don't
phone
know
number.
That.
Yeah.
Caller ID.
Yeah. And they can use that to find your address.
Yep.
This is directed at fifth grade, summer 12 to 13.
So, yeah, as you get to be a 13-year-old, this starts to become an issue.
Right. Okay, so copyright should be respected. No grabbing things off the web and turning them in as your own. Good lesson. Want to use a cool picture? Have an adult ask. I've never known someone to turn down students and receive very nice responses. That's great. So, like, if you're doing a project and you find a picture on Flickr or something and you want to use it, ask the person.
Right.
And no one, you know, they probably won't turn you down. Yeah.
Right.
Or anything. Better yet, use it as an inspiration to make your own artwork. We get into fair use into fourth and fifth grade. So they
talk
about
fair
use.
That's the thing, I mean, there obviously is a way to use these things appropriately for fair use, especially in schoolwork, but it's probably too complicated for little kids to explain that. I'm glad she does try to explain, though, in fourth and fifth. That's really important.
But it's especially really asking someone to use it.
It's never wrong to ask.
Mm-hmm. No searching for inappropriate things. If you accidentally hit an inappropriate website, turn off the screen, tell the nearest adult. And again, if you're following the rules, you will not be in trouble. Or, you know, if you knowingly did an inappropriate search,
you'll be in big time trouble.
I guess
we can find out.
Right.
You know, I might not agree with that. Henry searched for boobs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and see, the thing is, I know what he's doing, and I know about history, and I get logs and so forth.
Well, she's talking not about at home, but in school.
Yeah, but I make sure. Yeah, in school it's different. You actually can't. You have zero tolerance there, of course. But at home, what I'll do is say, Henry, what were you looking for? I know what you were looking for. And you know,
breastfeeding photos, I'm sure.
And I don't yell at him, and he'll tell me. And you know, the guys were over, and I said, well, you know, please don't do that because you're gonna. And I think it's better to deal with it that way. It's certainly better to talk about. You know what's great? One of the things I really like about Leopard, and we're starting to see this in a Windows as well, although Leopard implements it very well in the new Mac operating system, is there's parental controls built in that are just incredible.
Mm.
They have filtering, but you can also set time limits. You can say for each individual login. So I gave each kid a login, and I tell them... you know, it actually does. The computer does it. You get 3 hours, no more than say 3 or 2 hours or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You have to no longer internet access after a certain hour. I mean, it's really got very
fine. Vista does that time.
Does Vista have all that?
They don't have all that. They have time.
That's a good thing.
Windows Vista Home has time limits, so you can only be online during a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
During the certain amount of time during the day.
You no longer need special software, I think, to do this, which is really great.
No.
I like this a lot. Yeah.
Okay,
so anyway,
Kimberly
use that,
has a few
use that
more.
Stuff at home.
Yeah, yes, Kimberly has a few more. Yes. She's going to say, she wrote what private information is, what you're not allowed to talk about on the web. Your full name, your address, your phone number, where you live, the name of your school.
Good.
And unique things about your small town, which I think
good.
Is interesting.
Any clues, in other words.
Yeah, like the person our school is named after was buried standing up. His grave was lost and is probably under the intersection in front of the local museum. So yeah, anything that people can figure out.
I don't know where that is, but that's
I don't either.
Fascinating.
I think hopefully she made that up. Things like the name of your team, where you practice, where you play, name of the opposing team. These can all be put together to figure out your location. So
yeah, really don't want to be talking to somebody you don't know in real life.
Right. So thank you so much, Kimberly. If you guys have more specific things like this, I think it'd be great if you called us. Then you wouldn't have to just listen to me blabbing on and on.
I would love that. 707-981-4602 is our voicemail. It's not toll free, but you know, most of you, it doesn't not gonna cost too much.
Right.
707-981-4602. No humans will answer. Just leave a voicemail and we'll show it. We'll play it on the show.
Okay, I've got another email. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
This is from Ken Fallon. He says, I'm Irish, but married to a Dutch woman and living in Holland with our 3 children, 6 months, 2 years, 3.5. It's interesting to listen to your show as I realize how different it is to be a parent in the U.S.
Huh.
I was in absolute shock at episode 14 when you spoke to the people at Moms Rising. In Ireland and the Netherlands, we all complain at how short maternity leave is, and Sweden has such a good system.
How long is their maternity leave?
He doesn't say.
But I'm sure it's a lot longer than ours.
10 years.
Yeah. but as some people have pointed out, if you're a small business, that can be a real burden on
you. It's true. That's true. Then he says in episode 17, you show that no matter where in the land you live, parents are parents the world over. And he's referring to the Pachelbel's bedtime video.
Yeah.
And if you ever manage to track him down, see if he can upload a high quality version as he wants to send the DVD home to his parents.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. Well, you know, I did write to Regis and Kelly, mm-hmm. to their producer, the one I work with, and Marianne. Passed along to Gelman. I haven't heard what happened, but Gelman certainly saw that video. I know that. So
yeah,
we'll see. We have one question or a comment from Wayne in Marietta, Georgia. Let's say hello to Wayne. Wait a minute, I pressed the wrong button. I pressed the wrong button.
Are you calling him?
Yeah, I'm calling him.
Hey, hey, Wayne. Megan and Leo. This is Wayne in Atlanta with my weekly call. Just wanted to ask you guys if you've seen this show called John and Kate Plus 8. I believe it's on Discovery Times channel or Discovery Health channel. And it's about the parents of twins and septuplets.
Oh!
Where they had 2 twins and then they had septuplets shortly thereafter. Very interesting show. They were on Ellen the other day. And I just thought I'd recommend it as a show for some of the other parents out there to watch whenever you feel kind of overwhelmed that your 2 or 3 kids are driving you into the ground. Watch this family. Watch what they do. The mother stays home. The dad works. He's an IT professional, so techie like me. And it's just a very interesting dynamic to watch all the things that they go through with these 8 kids in the same house.
Wow.
Anyway, love the Jumping Monkeys podcast. You guys are great. Talk to you later.
Bye. Thanks, Wayne. Wayne called our voicemail, 707-981-4602. It's actually a Grand Central number, which is great. Because I just play it right off the computer. It makes it very easy for us. Appreciate the comment. I haven't seen that show. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. But that's
sounds
a lot
like
of
a
kids.
Nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like the shows that make me feel better about how much I have, though. So I think it's, yeah, that's a lot.
That's seven.
Yeah. Now, speaking
twins,
of...
It should really be plus nine. Maybe they lost one. Maybe my math is wrong. Maybe sextuplets. Maybe it's sextuplets.
Yeah, plus eight, because then it's two. Yeah. So speaking of parenting, I have to go pick up my kids from the babysitter.
Oh my gosh, it's time. You're 2 minutes late. Megan, what fun.
It was fun.
Join us next week. We are going to be talking to the Milky Mommies. Milk Mommies.
The authors of the Milk Memos.
The Milk Memos.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
It all started with a paper towel in the lactation room.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find out what that means next week. Also, our first contest.
Oh, yeah. First giveaway.
Mm-hmm. Email Megan at twit.tv or visit our website, her website, jumpingmonkeys.com. Or you can call us 707-981-4602. I'm Leo Laporte for Megan Maroney. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on...
Jumping Monkeys!